it's good to be here. Good to see y'all from all over the place, and we're welcome from Texas, and hope y'all had a safe drive here and have a safe drive back when it's time. The topic for my lesson is when you have more out the rearview mirror than out your windshield. First of all, who comes up with these topics? I began to thinking about that, and I wondered, really? Then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is a pretty good lesson. Pretty good to study about when you have more out your rear view than you have out your windshield. And sometimes in our life, a lot of times when it's older, but it can happen at any time in our life, we get pretty bogged up with the things in our past. Good or bad. And we kind of dwell on them and we focus on them. But the problem with those is we can focus on them so much we forget about what's ahead. And you see that in your car when you drive down the road. You can think about good things in the past, and you can forget, and you can end up going the wrong. None of y'all ever gone the wrong direction thinking about something else. But you can really do it spiritually, and that's a problem. Every decision we make, every step that we take, every moment of our lives should be filtered to the future. Remember Paul saying, I press on toward the mark for the prize. All the stuff you've done in the past, I press on toward the mark. And then whether that had been good or bad, and we know that was bad. But I press on toward the mark for the prize. When it comes to driving, the size of our windshield and the size of our rearview mirror is no accident. No accident. The purpose is that we look toward the future. Though we may be tempted to continue to look at the back, keeping our eyes in the Word of God, focusing on the way and the truth and the life. There's some seats up here. You got two right here in the front. As we prepare to get into study, we need to understand, and it's so important to understand, that as we get older, and especially we understand that, as we get older, our rearview mirror gets loaded with all the things in this life that we have kind of done, that we've been a part of, and between all of us here today and eternity, there is some things in between that we need to talk about. When we talk about our rearview mirror, is smaller than our windshield, we need to remember between now and eternity, we need to focus upon time. How much time do we have left? Time between now and then, and in the truth, it may be in the next 5 seconds. It wasn't, but it could be in the next 5 seconds. It could be in the next 5 years. It could be in the next 50 years or less. But in that expanse of time, we don't even know how much yet between us today, and that is a great place called eternal life. And using that time in view of eternity, how are we going to use it? So if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 25. There is one other thing we need to remember, that there is a time just before we see eternity and that moment of the judgment. Just before we see eternity and that moment of the judgment. Between us and eternity is time. We don't know how much. And then the moment of judgment where, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll actually answer to Jesus for everything that we've chosen to do, between now and then. And we will answer for how we've lived. We will answer for all the things that we have dealt with in this life. And Jesus said, when that time is complete, there will be the judgment. And in that judgment, he is going to separate the sheep from the goats. So look at verse 31. God's word says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations be gathered together before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And what we will learn later, and we will see in verse 46, is that that moment is coming when we will have to answer for our lives, and we will hear our judgment, and the separation will be made then. And when that separation is made, eternity commences. Are we ready for that day? Are we ready for that day? For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Christ ascended in heaven, Christians knew what they were here for. I mean, under the greatest piece of persecution we've ever seen in the history for Christians, people knew about that, and they were boldly telling other people about Jesus for a long time. And sometimes we talk, when we talk about the sheep and the goat, usually we're sitting in an auditorium and we say, they sit with the goats and these people sit with the sheep. And really, that's really a matter of perspective of where you're sitting and what you're looking from the back or the front. But all kidding aside, the only one that matters, that we need to talk about in his position is Jesus, where he will tell us to sit within his glory, or where the people on the left will be sent to eternal damnation. It's totally up to him based on how we have followed his word. And here's what we need to do. We need to find out, are we really ready for that moment? Are we ready for that? Everybody who knows anything about God wants to go to heaven. We want to go to a place to where there is no more sickness, no more dying, and no more sorrow, where there is Jesus and the tree of life and the river of eternal life. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us three parables, great parables. I don't know if you've looked at them this way, but in each of them, and especially in the first two, he asks us to consider the way we're using the time between now and that moment, when we have more in our rearview mirror than out our windshield. And these three parables, Jesus talks about us using our time between now and the judgment to help us develop a passion for the kingdom, a passion for faith, the word of God, and built entirely upon the grace of Jesus Christ. And here's what we should remember. 3 points. Here's what we should remember. When we have more in our rearview mirror than out our windshield, we need to remember that the identifying mark of someone who is ready to see Jesus is endurance. Endurance. Endurance means that I am ready for the long haul, however long it's going to be. I'm not in this for the short term or hoping that Jesus comes when I'm having some upward spiritual movement or when I've spent a lot of time away from God or without God. I want him to come back in the next 10 minutes. But I don't need him to come back in the next 10 minutes. He can wait 10 more years. And I can be subject to sickness and dying or my body decaying, and I will still be faithful to him. I will keep my lamp trim. I will not let it go empty. That is one of the identifying marks of someone who is ready to see Jesus. Now, if we are the people that say, you know, I just can't put up with this anymore. I can't, if I have to deal with one more disappointment, if I have to deal with one more death, if I have to deal with one more burden, I'm just not going to make it. If that's us, we need this parable. We need this parable. Look at verse 1. Jesus said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, and going out to meet them. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But they answered and said, assuredly I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now the point is for us to be ready, for us to be always ready, for us to be over prepared. Whether Christ comes in the next 5 years or the next 10 years, do we feel barely prepared, almost prepared, or do we feel over the top and ready prepared? This is the difference in the story. All 10 of the virgins wanted to go in. All 10 of the virgins started heading toward the door. All 10 of them had their lamps bright, burning bright. But as soon as he came, all 10 of them did not go in. See, he did not come soon. There was a longer time than they had prepared for. The bridegroom was delayed. Probably it was on purpose to make sure that only those who were all in will get in. Now, sure, we believe in God's grace. We all believe in that he loves us and that he sustains us and that he does not demand perfection. In fact, there is nothing in this parable that screams perfection. Jesus is 100% looking for people who are all in with him. We can know that we are all in if we are preparing our lives, ourselves, for the long journey. If we are sustaining ourselves, that if there is sorrow or if there is sickness, some other disaster, problems, it doesn't completely derail us because we are in this for the long run. Then we are ready. As a Hebrew writer said to Christians in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. We do not know how long the race is. On purpose. Christ is just looking for people who keep running and won't quit. Certainly we should read our Bibles every day. Certainly we should pray every day. Certainly we should be faithful in our attendance and worshiping God because we need all the fuel that we can get. It's like being on a trip and we have 50 miles to go. Have you ever noticed, you have 50 miles to go, how quick the gas tank goes down? It's amazing how quick it goes down. God is looking for people who don't need his coming to be today, but they stay ready for the time that he is ready. James chapter 1, verse 2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith, every time that our faith gets tested, we don't get closer and closer to quitting. It produces endurance. Endurance has the perfect result, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. Patience. We never give up. And here's the imagery that we get from this parable. Everybody wanted to go to heaven in this parable. All 10 of them wanted to go to heaven. And everybody would have gotten there if he had come soon. But time was their test. Don't give up. No matter how bad it gets, how hard it gets, don't give up. And unfortunately, in this case, time was not their friend. Our attitude ought to be thankfulness for as many days as God needs to give me to make me and what he wants me to be. Hang in there. Secondly, it's not just about sticking with endurance. It's not just about over-preparation. But when there's more in our rearview mirror than out our windshield, another identifying mark of someone who's ready to see Jesus is a growing Christian. Are you growing in Christ? I'm thankful that Jesus followed that last parable with this one, because a message is not just hang in there. It's not just no matter what it takes. Hang in there. Endurance is not just holding your ground. As long as I don't back up, maybe I won't fall off. That's not just it. Look at verse 14. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received the 1 dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And notice this, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. He said, Lord, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. And look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours. Some Christians have the idea, just don't turn your talent loose. Just hold on to it. Keep it close. Put it in the ground. Just hold on. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 29, for everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This man would say, I do have something. I do have what you give me. I do have your talent. I have saved it. But the key in verse 29 is growth. Jesus doesn't just want us to be a Christian and hoping that we can just limp into eternity and say, I made it. I had a hard time. I'm scarred and I did so much, but I barely made it in. I'm really glad to be here. God's grace is going to bring us along the way, but our attitude needs to be growth in Christ. In the first parable, time was a problem. If this goes too long, if I have to wait too long, I'm just not going to make it. In the second parable, time is awesome. Time is an asset. There may be a long gap between now and what is facing me in eternity, but I am so thankful for this time, because in this time, I can tell more people about Jesus. I can get stronger in serving Christ. I can help the Lord's church grow in the community where I am. See the thinking? Our thinking switches from, oh, Lord, come quickly. I can't make it another day. To, Lord, give me all the time you want to give me, because we're going to do something great for your glory with that time. And that's our question. If the Lord gives me 2 more years, 10 more years, what are you going to do with it? What are you doing now with it? I have a microphone up here, and I'm going to walk around. No, I'm not. But I'd like to know. I'd really like to ask a question. If God gives us, you, me, 10 more years or 5 more years, tell me what you hope to do with it that's going to make you better as a Christian and better to serve the Lord in the kingdom. Everybody wants to get better, but hardly anybody knows what better looks like. What's it going to be like? Someone may say, well, you know, in 5 years, if I'm still going to church, that may be good. That's what some people think. The good news is it's not actually about how much we have. It's not about actually about getting to some level. If you produce this much, you're going to get to go in. Even that one talent guy, if he had one more, he would have been able to get in. But it's not about amount. It's about our effort, how we're living our effort. It's not about who's the best. It's who's making the best out of the time, making the most out of the time that they have, who takes their service and finds a better way to serve God. And here's the difference. The guy with 5 talents immediately traded them and made another 5 talents. Investment counselors will tell you, and hope you understand this, you don't know when you're going to retire. You know what you have now is not going to be enough to retire on, so you need to start investing now, and the name of it is growth. Same thing in spiritual living and serving God. Hold your place there. We're going to look back in Matthew 25 in a few more minutes, but look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking on the church level, the congregational level. The Lord's church, wherever it is, must try to create a culture that is growing, that is learning, that is evangelistic, that if someone comes and they want to place their workmanship here with us, they want to place the workmanship where you go, they say, wow, just holding on to what I got is not going to be enough. If I'm going to be a part of this congregation, I must be a growing Christian. I must want to get involved. I'm going to have to be evangelistic. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're beginning with verse 1 and following, we find the congregation is doing great. These people are doing a lot of good works. Look at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge you to exhort the Lord in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, they said the Lord's church is doing grace. Verse 10, that we urge you, brethren, to increase more and more. It's not just all the good you've done in the past. It's where are you going? What are you doing with the good? Are you just resting on that? You hear people say, man, I remember the way we used to be. Well, we used to save a lot of souls. What are you doing now? How are you facing God now and helping the church grow now and being involved now? Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 36, of that day and hour, when he returns, no one knows. No one knows except God. Therefore, we need to be investing for the long haul no matter what. And the only way we can do that is to keep our lamps full and to continue to grow. We need to do that in the Lord's church. Our elderships ought to be leading us to grow and not just holding on or holding our own, but you can keep investing. So we've seen that time can be a burden. It can be a burden. And time can be our friend. Thirdly, there's not much reference to time here, but there's reference to getting outside of oneself and looking around. Three words in this whole lesson I want to leave with you. Using time between now and the judgment to prepare for the Lord involves endurance, it involves growth, and it involves service. Back in Matthew 25. Third, when we have more in our rearview mirror than out our windshield, we need to remember an identifying mark of someone who's ready to see Jesus is our service. Our service in the kingdom. Verse 31, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. This is the definition of hospitality. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch or to the extent as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will depart and say to those in his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting life, everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. And you can almost see someone at that time saying, oh, wait. I was baptized. I went to the right church. I was part of that group that read scripture, Bible scripture, for 200 straight days. That was me. How can you put me on the left hand? I've been preparing for you. And he continues. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, what if, just what if, Jesus is serious about this? Have you thought about that? What if he's serious about this? What if he is really telling us exactly how it's going to go down? Absolutely, in the judgment, it will be important that we obey the gospel, that we have put Christ on the bed. And we know that. We know, and we believe in that. How can we have the glory and the grace of God in our lives if we have not obeyed the gospel, put Christ on in baptism? It starts there. It starts there. Then being part of the Lord's church is teaching the truth, evangelistic. And as we stand in front of Jesus on that day, as we stand in front of him, how will we answer them if he asks us, how did you stick with it when it really got hard? How did you do that? Or how were you using the days I gave you to invest your faith? And when I put people in your life who needed things, were you there to help? When I brought a brother or sister into your life who were hurting, did you serve them? Did you help them? Did you love them? See, judgment is a real big deal. It's a huge deal. And being prepared for judgment is so important. We don't know how long. We don't know how long, especially when we have more in our rearview mirror than we have out our windshield. I wonder if there are people who leave church just kind of 2 minutes after the last prayer is said, and they go and get their car, and they drive to their home where few Christians have ever been. And all the way they complain how few people came up to them and told them how awesome they were. What if Jesus wants to know more about our service? How much did you encourage people? How much? Is it all about you? How much did you encourage? How long did you stick around to maybe welcome the members and the visitors? How often did we have people in our home to maybe to provide the solution for someone else's problems? Now, 100% perfection, if that was required, none of us would make it to heaven. We all need the mercies of the Lord. God is more interested in direction than he is in position. Imperfection is part of this. But Jesus isn't interested in where we are. Jesus is interested in where we're going. He is interested in our direction. He is interested in how we are using our time that we are given. And if it takes a while, if it takes a long while with all of this stuff that we're dealing with, are we going to stick with it? Are we going to be in there with it? If it takes a lot of times, will we? Are we going to stay there and continue to follow him? You see, the real work is people. And that's where Jesus is. Hungry, thirsty, sad, and burdened. May we serve one another to the end, because Jesus said after this life, following that, there comes a judgment. And then he said, I will separate the sheep from the goats. And those who are the sheep, I will welcome into Revelation chapter 22, to where there is no death, no sorrow, no pain, no tears at all. And it will be worth it. It will be worth it. When we have more in our rearview mirror than out our windshield, may we use our time faithfully to endure all the way to the end, no matter how long it takes, to continue to grow and to serve God. Let's not let anything get in our way from serving God. Thank you very much.